Welcome to Don't Be All Like Uncool, a way too deep dive into the shallowest people on the planet. I'm Elizabeth. And Alex, I have two taglines for you this week.
Makes sense. We're short one host, so.
Stay positive and test negative. Or snakes and condoms, two things I don't fuck with.
Great. So they're both just straight quotes.
They are. And who are they by? Tom Sandoval. Kirsten Doughty, ex-boyfriend and girlfriend, kind of the same
craziness.
Vibe. Yeah. Maybe they really were soulmates. Well, no Julia this week, but I am joined by my lovely friend and co-host, Mr. Alex Morant.
When it comes to living in the valley, the only ones in Burbank are James and Allie, which upsets me deeply. I am a Burbank boy. A couple weeks ago, Julia sent me a text being like, James is like live streaming like in your neighborhood right now, and I wasn't there. I was so upset.
Alex, you could have casually bumped into him.
That would have shocked him, since he's like, he has a weird like electric allergy.
Oh yeah, to his plants.
Yes.
Well, do we want to start with Summer House this week?
Yeah, before we get into our Vanderpump group.
Yes. So, interesting observation. We did not have a big blow up this week, but that's because Lindsay and Carl weren't really in the episode together.
Interesting. Kind of like how the most fun weekend they've ever had was the weekend without both Carl and Lindsay.
Yeah. I guess let's play our game. Which team are we on? I'm on this week, controversial take, I'm on nobody's team.
Interesting.
Because I get Lindsay wants to get married. I think Lindsay doesn't like Carl very much.
Interesting.
And then Carl knows who Lindsay is. This week I did a little mini rewatch of season one. Season one, episode one. Lindsay is saying the same things about Everett that she says about Carl. Like, honestly, you could just copy and paste the conversations and I could splice them into the current episodes and you wouldn't know the difference.
This was going to be my thought on Lindsay that I had this week.
Okay.
Is that I think this is just how she operates in relationships.
She's been very consistent. And yeah. I think they both got into this relationship thinking, well, I'm new and improved. All I need to be happy is X. Carl, all I need to be happy is to be sober. Lindsay, all I need to be happy is to be married. So they decide to do this relationship with each other. They are not compatible people. They are not into each other. We learned this episode. They have sex probably, I think Paige's guess is honestly a little bit generous.
Generous. Yes, yeah. I agree.
I think it's probably once every 2 to 3 months. Mm-hmm. And they've only been together a year and a half at this point.
Yeah, we finally got like the extreme reverse of the famous Bravo, I have sex 5 times a day.
Yes. Thing.
So, yeah, Paige is totally right. If you're able to admit on Bravo that you only have sex once every 2 to 3 weeks, not having sex.
Times that by 7 minus your age or whatever. So, yeah, basically, I'm kind of this week on nobody's team. You guys know what you were getting in. You knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
What did you think was going to happen? So whose side are you on this week, Alex?
Jeez. I guess if I'm going off of just basically the arguments that we've seen this season, I'm still technically Team Carl.
Oh, I mean,
totally
like me
right.
too, duh. But like,
I mean, you're totally right. Like, they just shouldn't be together. And it's on Carl 100% too, because like, and he also has people telling him this at him repeatedly. And he's like, yep, you're right. I know.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, Pat and I have these conversations a lot, like when we see, or you know, somebody that we know goes through like a breakup and they start saying like, oh, my ex-girlfriend is like the devil and all of this stuff. Most of the time there isn't a clean-cut bad guy in a relationship. Like, obviously there's cases of like abuse and stuff like that, but for the most part, most breakups are just kind of boring. You did something shitty, they did something shitty. You both got really hurt. And I think that that's like most people would admit that. But it's when somebody starts saying, you're the devil. No, what was it? He's a demon.
She called him a demon. Yeah.
When you start saying that kind of stuff, I'm like, oh, no.
I know.
Like, most of the time, most of the time things aren't scandal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you're right that it is like sort of bred out of they're just bored together and they shouldn't be together. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of blowing up trivial things or creating things because, I mean, one, they're on Bravo.
Yes. Yes.
And two, that is how a lot of relationships end. Like when you hear about the big fight, you're like, and how did that start? And it's confusing and weird. It's just because people don't know how to be together.
Oh,
and
how
don't
many
know how to...
r/relationship posts have you seen where it's like, my wife is divorcing me because I wouldn't open a jar for her. And it's like, we have 17 children and I fucking hate my wife. She asked me to open a jar and I punched her in the face. Can you believe she's like divorcing me?
Am
on
I
this
the asshole?
Thing? Yeah. I think Sierra gave really good advice, which is like pretty standard advice, but I think it's easy to hear it as a platitude and not really listen, which is marry the person they are, not the potential. Like, Carl, if today was every day for the rest of your life, would you be happy? And I think Carl's life flashed before his eyes.
You know, I'm not on the team of is Mr. Jesse Solomon really inserting himself in this whole thing.
He doesn't know Carl very well.
No. Yet. He's just, like, riding for, like, the guy. Which, like, he is right in this situation, but it feels weird.
I know, and I think, I mean, again, rewatch of season one.
Jesse Solomon's there.
Carl kind of sucks. Carl sucks.
Oh, yeah. He famously is a bad person in those early seasons.
But Carl is quiet. And Lindsay is screaming and ruining the lift that he was in. Jesse was in that first lift when she's like, what are you on?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that he's taking Carl's side because here's this crazy woman screaming.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know them well enough to be going as hard as he is, I feel like. I feel like Sierra is doing the same thing, but being way gentler about it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're going to get a Jesse Solomon versus Lindsay scream off any day now.
Which would be great. I will say this, though, in his defense.
Uh-huh.
Imagine Chris or Alex from seasons prior inserting themselves in a drama like this. They wouldn't. So it's good that we have like a new Summer House cast member.
Fabulous casting. Please bring back Sam to flirt with him and have it be weird.
Yeah.
Even Crypto Lindsay. I don't care. So we got some Craig and Paige.
Oh, yeah. That was very interesting, his attitude.
I didn't think it was. I think
in terms of just how he has been behaving across multiple shows.
Oh, like desperate. Sorry, but desperate.
Yes.
I think that but I get it. I don't think that Craig should pay for Paige's apartment. He has his own house. Like, it makes sense. Like, if we want to be a couple that has two properties, we could both pay 50-50 on them, or Craig pays for the one in his hometown, Paige pays for the hers. Mm-hmm. And I like his, like, if there's something that's perfect, I'll pay the difference. I think that was a great thing because they're not living together full time. They've been dating for a year and they didn't want to end up like Carl and Lindsay, where Carl is still paying half of that $13,000 a month apartment.
Oh, yeah. I think just the apartment was a tangible thing that made Craig finally kind of come around to Paige's attitude about their relationship.
Because he's like, holy shit, I don't want to be stuck with $13,000.
Yes. And holy shit, this is like an anchor for me to like be in New York, which he really does not want to do.
No, and also everything else that all of the other milestones Craig has been pushing with have really been on Paige. Moving to Charleston, that's on Paige. Getting married and, you know, giving up her career in New York, that's on Paige. Having children, that would physically be on Paige. Like, so this is the first time he's had to have any, you know.
Right, like, and he's like, yeah, Paige, you're right.
And he's like, good heavens, never mind. Yeah, exactly. I don't think they were doubting, though. I think that they're being very smart. And I'm sorry, Kyle. Again, my rewatch of season one. You treated Amanda like fucking shit.
Uh-huh.
Craig and Paige being long distance and being very cautious about not wanting to combine finances very early in a long distance relationship. I don't think that's a red flag. If they were like 4 years together or three and they were still doing this, I'd be like, but they've only been together for like a year and a half at this point.
And that's finally dawned on Craig. Either that or Craig is now sort of in like a, well, I know this is going to end So I'm just going to write it out.
But here we are a year later from when this is filmed, and they're still together.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like them. Are they your favorite Bravo couple?
They might be.
They might be mine because I like them both separately. And they feel like a sort That's of a fan fiction casting as a couple. Of like, oh, I like these two characters. That'd be fun if they got together.
Like, everybody jokes, like, the Golden Retriever and the Black Cat. Like, they are very much perfect. I think they might be. Minus Frank and everybody.
And Dolores.
Dolores. One last thing. Alex, I did have a crisis because you gave May the Schwartz Be With You award comparing West to Schwartz last week. And this week we find out that West does not have a job. And I had a mini panic. I thought, oh no, we're going down the Schwartz timeline faster than I'm ready. But then on TikTok, what popped up? A sports ball page. Who was doing commentary? My boy West. Or free and clear this round.
This round. He didn't do much to dissuade me this episode.
No. My theory. I'm worried.
Yeah.
All right. Are we ready for our new show, The Valley?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so when we first saw promos for this, Julia, of all people, said in our group chat, LOL, we don't have to watch this. The same person who made us watch Real Girlfriends in Paris. So this was shocking. Uh-huh. And we were like, ha ha ha, yes. But then we got the second promo and people started talking and we decided we were going to do an episode.
See, I made the mistake of thinking that Jax was in kind of a boring, sanctimonious reformed era, but then I remembered that that's how like every season of Vanderpump with him would start, is him in that mode, and then immediately the facade would crumble, as it did here.
Okay, well, we didn't even make it through a whole episode without that.
We got
crumbling.
Through him saying like, I consider Kristen like a sister, and then from that moment on
it was insane. I am so happy that we are watching this. Maybe we'll drop it, but as of right now...
No, I don't think so.
Alex, we have not one, but two couples who are getting divorced on this.
It's great. Jax is going to ruin all of their lives, you realize.
It's amazing. It's like watching a Tasmanian devil come through and just ruin suburbia. It's absolutely wonderful. So, do you want to take a guess of which couple is filing for divorce?
Oh, God, if I can remember their names.
You can
Jesse...
Yes, it's Jesse and Michelle, the real estate couple. The one who clearly hates each other.
Oh my God. That easily like most hateable person in a Bravo show right
he
now is that guy.
Grabbed Kristen's nipples.
Bizarre.
That was so shocking and weird. And like when we had this themed party and Jax is blowing up a corn dog, I thought like, God, I hate these like Amazon Prime special parties. Mm-hmm. And then we had two cases of sexual assault harassment.
One incited by Brock, but Jax is so good at taking the blame that you forget. Because Brock is like, oh, Jax, pants him.
And then the wife is crying because her husband's penis is out.
That was so crazy.
It was so funny because I think she's like, everybody's going to say that it was small because it was all shriveled up. My favorite thing is all the girls gathering around the wife. I cannot remember which wife
it
was.
Miss USA.
And she's sobbing. And all the girls are assuring her they didn't see anything. I know somebody who saw something, and it's Sheena.
Also kind of offensive if they're saying they didn't see anything.
Sheena is giggling in the corner, smiling ear to ear. Sheena 100% got full frontal.
By the former child star guy. Are they still together?
I think so, yeah. All these people are weirdos. They're all weird.
It's great. It's like if in Vanderpump Rules you watched the cast try to, like all of them try to like get domesticated, basically. That's what this show is.
It's, it's hilarious so far.
That's great.
My favorite couple is Zach and his forehead Botox.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's my favorite couple so far, those two.
He's great. I cannot wait to see
him yell at a
pregnant
woman.
I didn't see him and Jax interact this episode, but that would be great.
Was he at the pool party?
I don't think so.
I really liked Jasmine. People are talking about this a lot when they're like, and Jasmine worked at Sir Too. They flashed to a picture of her and Peter with Peter's head blurred out. Peter is the true underdog of Bravo.
Yeah. People forget Raquel hooked up with him first on her last season.
Ew. So they all hate Kristen's boyfriend, Luke. Hate him.
Yep.
And he seems like the most guy there is. He's just like a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do you think they hate him?
Well, Jax oddly does seem like the ringleader of this group in an authentic sort of way, unlike he ever did on Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
And so they are all kind of following his lead, and he hates him because, well, did you not hear him? Kristen's family. He's looking out for her best interest. And he's always right. He's in his I'm always right about everything mode. He thinks he's a psychic because of Scandoval. So he's going to let everyone know this.
Can I say something so unhinged? And I have not seen this take anywhere online. I was like, I can't be the only person who's thinking this. Nobody is saying it. I have gone on every Reddit thing ever.
Okay.
I think Jax and Kristen are hooking up still. I think they're banging right now.
Oh, I don't think that's implausible.
Right? Because when I watched the original, what is that? Is that season one of Vanderpump Rules?
They hook up. The reveal is season two.
Okay. I believed them. I was like, there's no way. Mm-hmm. I think they're hooking up, which is why he doesn't want her to have a baby with Luke and is like going on this bizarre stance about wedlock. And he keeps saying, she's my sister. It's a little, the lady doth protest too much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're banging.
Hey, I believe it.
Okay. Let's see. It'll be interesting. And then Jax is also kind of terrified because if she's off birth control and he's banging her.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Well, my last thought on the episode was the most alarming part of the whole episode for me was a flash to a bunch of babies unsupervised in a pool surrounded by drunk adults.
Oh, yeah. And pathetic Jax getting dunked and then watching him like swim away.
Like a shark. And this is California, so that pool is gated in. So these babies are behind a wall, alone in a pool with drunk adults yelling at them. Like, this is the
most... And they all made it clear it's like 100 plus degrees on that day.
Yeah, so everybody is like so much worse. Yeah, unsupervised babies in a pool maybe have a heart attack.
Yeah.
Overall, 10 out of 10. And Alex, I believe next week we get the return of Martha's Vineyard.
Oh my god, we're getting all the youngins.
I know, we're kind of like in our show prime. We have four delightful shows. I can't wait.
Me too.
And Milo the dog appears to be back. Heads up.
Oh, great.
Are we ready for an unhinged episode of Vanderpump Rules?
Yes.
Okay, can we start with the return of Jax since we just finished talking about the Valley?
Absolutely. He knew what to do. He went in like...
He's like, I got a type 5.
Missile.
It was funny.
So good.
Because, okay, you said that you feel like Jax is never the ringleader, but it's been too long since I've seen Sandoval and Jax interact together that when we saw the flashbacks, I was like, oh, Sandoval has been a side quest character this whole time.
I mean, the number one guy in the group thing. I think that definitely is true.
Alex, that was so funny. Jax overpowers Sandoval to a shocking amount, where Sandoval, who has to resort to costumes and eyeliner and little jazzy sidecars, where Jax comes in with pit stains and is coked out of his mind, allegedly, and is having a great time. It was amazing.
And here's the thing. I mean, in contrast to the Valley, right? So like he was the ringleader of that group and they're all like following his lead and everything. In Vanderpump, he was, again, the number one guy in the group, but they didn't want to acknowledge that. Or they would try to be like, I'm not like him. Like, they would try to separate themselves from him despite still being like, oh, well, he's the de facto, like, lead of our show.
Jax viewed himself on Vanderpump Rules like the king on the top of the hill and his peasants below him. When in fact, I think he was like the witch that terrified the townspeople.
Yeah. And he walks into this episode again looking like the villain that he is.
They're like borderline the playing back Jaws black hair. Music.
Yeah. He literally has shark eyes now.
He does.
Now, in what world do you think Schwartz thought that was a good idea? Because I always forget that Schwartz is sneakily, like, manipulative.
The worst.
Yeah. But he looks, like, genuinely dumbfounded that this is happening, that they immediately are, like, at each other's throats.
I think he's gonna see how many pins he can stick into Tom Sandoval and get away with saying, oh, that's crazy, you must have leaned up against a cactus or something.
He hates him.
Yeah, he's punishing him. Because do we want to kind of go back in time now? Because we had some absolutely brutal Schwartzisms this episode. Let's go to the sexy singles pool party, Alex.
I don't like the vibes in there.
Yeah, he didn't like the vibes in there. By the way, a TikTok came up where, okay, so during the sexy singles pool party that Ariana dubbed it, there is a redheaded woman bartending, and she gets the Chiron Tom's friend. She made a TikTok and was like, hey, I knew I was going to be on Vanderpump Rules because I signed all the waivers. I am not Tom's friend. He hired me as a bartender, and he never paid me.
Oh, my God.
She's like, I also subbed being his assistant a couple times, and he never paid me for that either.
Oh, my God.
So, like, half the people at this party who are like, oh, yeah, I'll serve some food. Oh, yeah, do you guys want any chips? Or they're hired help.
It's hired help, and I guess he's hired help, too. Is, like, band manager Jason still around?
Yeah.
It is bad. It's bad vibes.
The funniest part of the whole Sexy Singles pool party was Tom saying that he's really working hard to put himself back out there. Tom, you've been out there this whole time.
What are you talking about?
You had a 10-year relationship while you were currently out there.
Yeah, and he's been hooking up with people on his tour.
I know. And then he, like, flashes. His timeline is so crazy. He's flashing between, I haven't been single in so long, I gotta put myself out there, but I'm waiting for Raquel to text me back, while he's bringing over, like, 22-year-old girls that he met where, Alex?
Under a rock, because they have no idea what Scandoval is.
He met them at See You Next Tuesday, which means they're people like us who are like, oh my god, let's go, it'll be fine.
And then producers saw them there that night, and they're like, you want to be on the show?
And they're like, yeah! And then they got there, and we're like, we gotta get out of here.
There's truth in these jokes he's making about feeding Ariana chips under her door.
Why did he think anybody would think that was, like, a cool, hot thing to say?
Because he's not funny at all.
That was the creepiest thing I've ever heard, including him comparing himself to Scott Peterson.
That was the funniest thing he's ever said.
Who he said allegedly killed his wife. No, not allegedly. He was convicted. You can straight up say he killed his wife. In the eyes of the law, not a legend.
That's my favorite moment of the season so far. That, cutting back to also to Schwartz, like, in that chair being like, the vibes are bad in here, too.
Yeah. Yeah, when Tom Schwartz is like, ooh.
What does he say when Ariana enters the bar they're in? He's like, can you stand a couple feet away from me?
I don't want her to see that we're talking.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm just kidding. And then Sandoval's like, you're only half kidding.
Yeah, was not kidding even a little bit. When does this happen, Alex? Tom Sandoval, we kind of talked about it for a second there, that he's talking about Rachel. Oh, it's in that scene in the closet when he has his nice closet cry. That he's really rehearsed. He, like, has his hand up. It reminds me of that scene in Friends where, like, the old Hollywood actress teaches Joey how to kiss, but you cover somebody else's face. Like, he puts his arm over his head, kind of like Dracula. He tells Schwartz, Tom Sandoval tells Schwartz, that he's waiting every day for Raquel's call. Where at this point, we know he knows that she's blocked him.
Yeah.
Also, there's 22-year-old girls in the pool right now.
Yep. He's made it clear to everyone, too, that he's going to start dating again.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The timeline is strange.
It's bizarre.
I love the part of this episode where Katie and Sandoval are having their sort of kitchen confrontation. And I am Team Katie 100%, but Sandoval's response to her saying, like, it's unfathomable what he did. And
it's fathomless.
Like,
you cannot fathom it.
Oh, it's you cannot fathom it. His response to that.
He's so bad.
You felt like George Costanza in that moment.
He's saying, I can't be groveling forever. I have not heard one grovel.
No.
This has been a grovel-free season.
Him trying to be good with Katie is him like constantly being like, you look great.
And she's like, thanks. So Sheena, who I've been mad at for a very long time now, actually kind of won me over. She did a great job confronting him at the bar.
She pulled a Jax.
Yeah.
Just went in and started talking shit.
Said, you need to say sorry to Katie. You need to say, like, acknowledge that you manipulated Raquel.
Yeah. You know what she didn't do as good a job at, though, was with Ariana, where Ariana's like, I'm hearing all these people, like, telling me that, like, you're mad at me, and, like, I know that's probably not the case. You know, I know that, like, Lisa and Lala, they like to spin stuff, and she was like, yeah, that is so weird. I am really mad at you.
I know. See, that's where she loses me. She says stuff like that, or, again, the timeline, she and Sandoval really are perfect for each other, because then later on in the episode, Sheena is mad at Brock. Talk about a marriage ending soon.
Yeah.
And she says, so we watch Sheena cry as mad at Ariana because she wants to be best friends with Sandoval again. And then when she's mad at Brock, calls him Sandoval as an insult.
That was so bad. Shook my damn head at her when she did that.
Oh my God.
It was so bad that I was like, there's no way that scene ended with Brock doing that, like, I'm going to draw an unhappy face joke. I feel like they edited that. That had to have happened. Like
that came first, for sure.
Yeah.
I am very happy that Ariana is taking back her friends. She kind of has to. She kind of has to show up and, like, piss on the fire hydrant a little bit. Mm-hmm. I did really, really like that they played what was basically a Vanderpump Rules themed pack of Never Have I Ever. I was waiting for the next card to be like, never have I ever screamed at a friend that the argument was not about a carbohydrate.
I know, James was losing that game.
I kind of like Joe and Tom together. They just are together trying to do Robin Williams impressions, and
it works. Too bad Tom doesn't.
Why? Why do you think that, Alex? As a Schwartz expert, why do you think?
Could it be that classic human condition thing of, like, the easiest thing is, like, the thing you don't want? I mean, like, she's there for him. It's, like, it's so easy for Schwartz. Schwartz, I think, is really a messy person.
Yeah.
So that's too clean for him to get with the person who clearly loves him and that he loves.
He also needs somebody, like, he needs to be the one that looks like they smell a little salty.
Yes.
And, like, is sticky. And Joe also looks like she's sticky. I think two sticky people can't be together.
They're too similar. They're too similar.
Because right now, you know, he's dating a 22-year-old, a 23-year-old.
Which, yes, he's going to get a lot of shit for. And I think another thing about Schwartz is he, I think, has sort of like a humiliation fetish, probably. Because his whole relationship with Katie, and he was awful in that relationship, but a lot of it was Katie shitting on him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was being like, oh, okay, sorry, Katie. So it's just another scenario where he's going to be shit on for this age gap. And he's going to be like, oh, man, I don't know. Sorry.
But Katie never looks like she's sticky. Katie looks like she smells great. And she smells like hair products. And,
yeah.
And her clothes are clean. And this new girlfriend is very much like 22 TikTok aesthetic clean girl. Like, mm-hmm. She also looks like she smells good. Joe is sticky. And I think he wants to be the little baby boy who is a sticky mess, and hot mom needs to scold him and clean him.
Yeah.
And and Joe's in the playground with him. She's not going to help.
Yeah.
She lost a turtle that was attached to a rope.
Oh, yeah. That was great that we got to hear that whole story.
That was horrible. I did not like that story at all. All right. Alex, are we ready for awards?
Yes.
All right. My award is the Shannon Bedore School of Driving Award, named after Shannon Bedore from Real Housewives of OC's DUI that she got this last year. And I give this to Karen Huger, who got in a car accident and was later charged with a DUI this week. Karen, no.
Damn.
I know.
I didn't really read that statement she released, but I heard it was strange.
It's a Karen
statement.
We'll
have to report back.
I didn't ride the DUI. I am the DUI. Alex, what's your award?
My Jax is Back award in honor of Jax Taylor returning to our screens this week in the Valley, goes to Jax Taylor for returning to our screens this week in Vanderpump Rules.
Perfect. Well, Alex, thank you so much for joining me.
Of course. Anytime. Oops. I said the wrong thing.
You can catch new episodes of the Don't Be All Like Uncool podcast every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Podbean. You can also follow us on Instagram at Like Uncool Podcast. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, and mention it all.